Scripture this morning is found in Luke 22:14-20. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." As we learned in lighting our first candle, today is about hope. And there is no greater hope than that given by Jesus at the cross and the empty tomb. And so as we begin our Advent season, we are quickly brought to the end, to the reason that Christmas even matters. Jesus has fulfilled the law for us. He has met the requirements of reconciliation, blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. Not just any blood, but perfect, sinless blood. Divine blood found in a baby in a manger. Now God is just. There is nothing unjust about him. And justice demands the law must be upheld. And so God must keep the law and its requirements. But God is also love. And God does not want to have to punish his people. If you remember the story of Daniel and King Darius, King Darius was tricked into making a law that for 30 days no one could pray to anyone else but him. Daniel, of course, prayed to God 3 times a day and continued to do so, breaking the law in the practice. King Darius loved Daniel and didn't realize that this was a trap set for Daniel. But when he discovers that Daniel was the target and that he has in fact disobeyed the law, which can't be changed, he stays awake all night trying to figure out a way around it. How can he spare Daniel? But in the end, there's no way around the law. And so his heart is torn as justice demands that he must hand over Daniel to be punished, and the sentence is being thrown into a lion's den. This conflict we see within Darius is a picture of God in the conflict between justice and love. In the end, judgment must happen, and Daniel is thrown into the lion's den, but God seals the mouths of the lions, thus preserving Daniel. Daniel is a picture of Christ, given over for the payment required by the law. And as the lions could not harm Daniel, neither could death harm Jesus. And Jesus' action has allowed God to remain just and loving. A just God is required to hold his people accountable, but a loving God sends his son instead to make the payment. And now, since complete and full payment is made, we stand before God righteous, holy, and blameless. That is our true hope. Hope is the sure and confident expectation of receiving what God has promised us. Communion is a picture of this accomplishment and the new covenant we now have with God, covenant of grace. Jesus fulfilled the requirements of the law, and by his blood we enter into this new covenant of grace. The old covenant was all about thou shalt not, but under this new covenant, the phrase is different. The phrase is God's word saying, "I will. I will be your God and you will be my people." The very first miracle that Jesus performs in Scripture is the turning cleansing water into wine, which represents Christ's shedding blood, cleansing us from all sin. This Passover meal that Jesus gathered with his disciples would be his last, as he would be killed mere hours after it. And so at that night, Jesus established something new, a new practice, which we do today some 2,000 years later, a new remembering. See, the Passover feast commemorated when Israel was freed out of slavery from Egypt. So many times God spoke to them and said, "I am the God who brought you out of Egypt." But he doesn't say that to us. Under this new remembering, we are told to take communion and remember Christ's death till he comes again. A different remembering for us. To remember that we are forgiven, redeemed, restored, and that we are God's children. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, you remember the plagues that were sent. The 10th plague was a picture of Christ. The 10th plague, they were to find a perfect lamb and sacrifice that lamb. They were to completely cook it and then to eat it all. And this perfect lamb without blemish, its blood was to be spread on the doorposts and across the top of the door. The same kind of a structure that we put together a cross. And the blood would be a protection from the destroyer who would go through the city and strike down the firstborn son of any home not protected by the blood. Jesus is the lamb whose blood protects us from death. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Passover, and in his new celebration gives us new hope. And just as the Hebrew people remembered for all their days their freedom from slavery, we too remember our freedom from being slaves to sin. And we remember Christ died, Christ was risen, and Christ is coming again. The bread signifies Christ's body given for us on the cross. All our sin and disease and curse were taken by Jesus so that by his stripes we are healed. The bread, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I came that you may have life pressed down in abundance till it overflows." When we seek righteousness, we are fed the bread of life. Let's not forget that Jesus was laid in a manger, a feeding trough, in the city of Bethlehem, whose name means house of bread. Jesus is always being the bread of life. And the wine, Christ poured his blood out for the forgiveness of our sins. He turned cleansing water into wine, the new covenant made in Christ's blood, our true hope. We are made righteous, we are forgiven, we are perfect in God's eyes because of Christ's blood. This is why Jesus said, "Very, very, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Communion is not a ritual to be observed, but a blessing to be received. Every time we participate in communion, we must be conscious of Jesus. We must remember the cross and the empty tomb, and we also must remember that he is coming back. And remember the hope of our faith and the covenant of grace. The manger means nothing if there isn't a cross. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we now go forth into the world to fulfill our calling as the people of hope. Go in peace, love, and care for one another in the name of Jesus. And may you be filled with the peace of God, nourished by the life of Jesus Christ, and upheld by the power of the Holy Spirit, both now and forevermore.